save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you listen to hip-hop, you have all styles of music.
Part of that's because they sample, you know what I mean?
Because I mean, you get from like jazz, you get...
You can borrow from wherever.
But he's a very evil, wicked guitar teacher, yo. Anybody who wants lessons, don't take them from Clef. My fingernails would grow too long, he would bite them off and spit them out and smack my hand. He's just very mean, but he's very talented, he's gifted.
You know what? I never really adapted being a mega, mega superstar. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just Lauryn Hill.
My career changed, and I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do. Because that's when I got signed, and I was doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whenever I got into a situation that I realized, I was bye-bye.
Quickly. Would you really?
Oh, I've done that quickly. I've done that to a few artists.
Ooh, I want to ask. Oh,
I'll say a name.
Let her rip.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Lauryn Hill.
What?
Fugees Part 2. Let's go. Welcome back to Fraudsters, where we cover the scams you love and the fraudsters we hate. I'm your co-host, Sina Gaznavi, along with Ariel Leite and Justin Williams. What's up, fam? How you go? How we doing? How we doing? More Fuji.
Oh, my goodness.
Fuji La.
So much Fuji. Too much Fuji. Too much refugee.
This is Donald Trump. Too much refugee.
Yeah, too much refugee.
You can't say that.
We've
got a lot of stuff. We talked about Wyclef a lot. What I love about this next bit is that, you know, we're building on Wyclef. If I were president. And going into some more stuff about Lauryn Hill and, of course, the other guy, Pross. But who I still love so much.
He does have an interesting arc that we'll get to eventually, but
he has the most comedic arc out of anyone.
Yes.
That's for sure.
This is, yes, that's true. That is, well, I don't know. Wyclef's arc is pretty pretty interesting.
Myself for a concert.
You know, I hope when my son grows up and he like runs for office in like his high school, I hope he writes a song. I hope he just does a cover of this.
He should.
And he's like, if I were president, assassinated on set. Then people are like, what?
No, it could be a cute one. Like, I got you fruit snacks on Monday. Mm-hmm. Recess on Thursday.
Free Pepsi on Thursday. Yeah, all right.
If I were class president. Recess every day.
I like that he has an undiscernible accent.
Play outside.
Every day. Play outside. Every day. That's my shit. Song of the summer.
All right. Ariel, take us away. Tell us about Lauryn Hill. Guys, grab your hearts because we're going to play them like Wyclef plays the guitar.
Ding, 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 ding. So last episode, we talked about the rise and near immediate fall of the Fugees. And we also detailed the transgressions of our good friend, Wyclef Jean. So first up, we're going to be talking about Lauryn Hill. You're basically the Beyonce of the Fugees. You're Diana Ross. You know, okay, the Fugees were one of the most celebrated and least prolific hip-hop groups of all time. But Lauryn Hill was actually the single most celebrated and by far least prolific member of the group. Her talent was evident and celebrated as early as middle school when she performed the Star Spangled Banner before a basketball game. So people flipped out, and a recording of her version was subsequently played before future basketball games. They couldn't even get her back to do it live, like, honestly. She was already missing work as early as middle school, you guys.
Good for her.
I know. I actually do love that for her. The Fugees was not Lauryn Hill's first brush with fame. You know, who knows? If the Fugees had never jumped off, she might have had a shot to make good as a career as an actor. She first acted professionally in an off-Broadway hip-hop version of Twelfth Night called Club 12. I really like the name of that. 12 is in Roman numerals, by the way. Wyclef had already been cast in the production due to his ability to rap in half a dozen languages. Some say they're made up. The play got a lot of heat and Hollywood interest from Quincy Jones, who tried to option the rights for a movie. It never made it to Broadway, and the movie never happened, but the show got her an agent, and the next year came one hell of a break. My favorite movie in yours, 1992, she won a lead role in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, one of the best Sister Act movies ever made, and maybe, dare I say, one of the best movies ever made, because I even saw it, okay? And I don't watch movies.
Then we're going to name it Sista.
Sistas with a Z.
Still.
We got a little clip here of Lauryn Hill from that movie. I'm sure there's people that are listening that have never seen Sister Act.
That's impossible. Okay, it was on WB 11 every single Sunday. You can't ignore this movie.
All right.
Yeah, it's a huge hit. We'll go over
huge. Huge.
Every day.
People forget how big a star. It's so weird that Whoopi Goldberg's just like this person that gets to, like, she just always apologizes for saying something crazy.
Yeah, but she's a superstar.
She likes you, Whoopi.
Yeah. There we go.
So happy.
You know the most unrealistic part of Sister Act is like this jamming Catholic church where people are smiling during a
yeah that's true.
It's never.
I
never
used to be straight napping in church.
They would have her out of there with all that.
They would be like
smiling and noise.
Only solemn people allowed.
Yeah.
Give the Lord reverence.
Take it to the Baptist church across the street.
Maybe. Yeah. 100%. Oh, man. She was good. I didn't even know. I don't remember her dancing, but she was a dance. I mean, come on. She was doing all the things.
A dancing fool.
A dancing fool, some would say. The movie was released in 1993, way before I was born. And Lauryn Hill won one praise from the man you most wanted praise from, Roger Ebert. He called her, and I quote, the girl with the big, joyful voice, even though he felt her talent had been wasted in the film. And she also appeared that year in a forgotten Steven Soderbergh film called King of the Hill, which is notable at least for casting of its many future stars, including Adrian Brody and Katherine Heigl, Jesse Bradford. I've never heard of this movie, and I've also never heard of any of those white people either, so.
You've never heard of Adrian Brody?
No. You've never heard of Adrian Brody?
Which one is he?
Really?
What does he do? What was he in?
Is the Italian guy with a giant nose?
Was he?
He kissed Halle Berry.
Was he in that movie, The Pianist?
Yes.
Okay, I know that person.
Yeah.
I was right that he was white, though.
He plays the piano, though, so it's different.
Could you imagine Roger Ebert saying, like, you've never been in a movie before and no one knows who you are, that your talent is wasted in a smash hit Whoopi Goldberg at the top of her career? Sequel, you know?
That is like, a wild
a compliment. Yeah, of course she has an ego. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like the most famous film critic in the world saying man, Whoopi Goldberg, why are you not the star of this movie at the height of Whoopi Goldberg's career?
You might have tapped into something, like perhaps this is where it began, and then she just continued to have this inflated sense of self. But we'll get there.
It all blew up too quickly.
Peaked in high school, literally. In 1996, the year The Score was released, Hill was 21 years old, and she enrolled at Columbia and was still living at home. At the end of 96, she became pregnant. Her actions in the wake of her pregnancy news are grounds for our first alleged fraud. Okay, I say alleged. Allegedly, rumors have swirled around an affair between Lauryn Hill and fellow Fuji Wyclef Jean. Wyclef was married in 95. Wyclef and his wife are still together despite a number of infidelity rumors on Wyclef's part. I guess just a little sprinkle of infidelity rumors. You know, that comes with being president or nearly president, okay? Yeah. You may remember a $100,000 payment to his mistress during the Yele scandal. Lauryn Hill became pregnant in the late 2006, and according to people close to them at the time, again, this is a legend, Hill led Wyclef to believe he was the baby's father in an effort to get him to leave his wife for her. And who amongst us hasn't done that, okay? The baby was later revealed to belong to Bob Marley's son, Rohan Marley. One way or another, the baby's father was going to be someone making their living off of Bob Marley's music, okay? Rohan would go on to father four more of Hill's children, despite them never getting married and living apart for most of their time together. The relationship ended formally in 2009.
So they have a documentary done that was also shot in 1996 and came out alongside of the album just a little bit afterwards. This first clip is a little bit on the origins of the band. So let's play that.
Real story is, you know what I'm saying, he was like the big man, you know what I'm saying, in the high school. He wanted to put two cute girls in a group behind him, you know what I'm saying, so he could look like the man, the player of the high school. So it was me and this other girl named Marcy. And, you know, we used to sing background, and he used to rap, you know, basically boost up his ego, you know. And then one day, Wyclef comes to the studio to meet the girls, and he comes and starts showing off on the mic.
Can I get a beat, man?
Ashley Simpson SNL dance.
Dead ass.
One day Wyclef came to the studio, he was vibing, he dropped some vocals, and then I guess the rest is history.
I had on my Bobby Brown suit, you know, with my my boots. What kind of boots were those?
Patent leather boots.
I had my patent leather boots, you know.
With a yacht hat.
The Melly Mel days. I was a cross between Melly Mel and Jimmy Clef. And I was like, yo, Prize, come here. I said, yo, who that girl in the booth singing? He was like, yo, man, you can't talk to her, man. She's too young for you. Not only that, you know, her brother, he trusts me. Where's Bon Clef? I know you, man. I said, nah, I'm chilling, man. So then I went in the booth, and I was like, two girls.
Ross is not even blow up. Just spot. Looking away, shaking
I do
his
what
head.
I do best, which is show
so then
off.
I had sex with her for several years.
So
damn,
bad.
This is how everything starts. This is just a quest of a man trying to get pussy. This is as it's always been.
Yeah.
From the dawn of time. And this, we started a band because I wanted to fuck that girl that was singing in the booth.
Oh my God.
It's crazy out here.
All right. So there's an interview, because obviously we wanted to figure out what was happening here with Wyclef and Lauryn Hill. And as Wyclef got older, he just started talking about, you know, the situation.
Alleged situation.
The alleged entanglement.
Yes.
This is from Vlad TV, an interview.
Oh, no, a Vlad TV interview.
This won't get ignorant.
Well, you and Lauryn Hill started to have a romantic relationship.
Yes, at a very young age, once again, 20-something years ago. Yeah.
Lauryn Hill gets pregnant.
Just like in my book, Purpose. Yeah.
And I guess just at one like point, in my...
It's Harry Potter.
You didn't know. Either you didn't know or she didn't know whether her first child was yours or Rohan Marley's?
Yeah, I mentioned it all in the book.
Yeah.
By my
it's
book.
Funny because when I named Praz and I mentioned the pregnancy thing, he said he had no idea. he talked about how him and Lauryn Hill kind of had like a, there's like a love triangle. It was him, his wife, Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
And he mentioned that Lauryn Hill got pregnant.
Okay.
Did you know about all this happening?
Man, I was counting my money, man, to be honest with you. I mean, okay. I knew there was riff going around, but I was focused, man. I was focused on trying to get this money.
Faraz doesn't have a checking account. He's just
he was literally counting dollar bills and putting them under the mattress.
Rolling quarters and stuff. Yeah.
He was busy.
That's the greatest. But that's a good friend, though. Like, yeah. that is the greatest stop snitching response in the world. Like, that's, I don't know nothing about that. Knowing damn well anytime you're in a band with two other people, you know two of them are sleeping together.
This is why we all record remotely.
Incredible.
Because yeah. Justin and I would be making
That's
love.
That's true.
And I wouldn't know who the father was. I'd say it's either Cena's or possibly Rohan Marley's.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore One Nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
He kept saying his book Purpose, and yeah, you know, folks, you know what we do here. So I went and got the book, and I looked through, and I found the section where Wyclef talks about the entanglement with Lauryn Hill and his wife, Claudinette. And we actually were able to get the audio version of Wyclef Jean reading this section of the book. So, Noreen, if you could just play the audio of that, let's go ahead and listen.
Let me give you an example of how intense this situation was.
Wait a minute. You cannot.
You can't. We're gonna be here for hours. You can't say like you're from the bayou, Justin.
Yeah. What is this?
I want some red beans and rice from Claudinette. Make me some hush puppies. You know how I like it. I just came back from New Orleans.
Let me give you an example of how intense this situation was. I knew that Lauryn and I were like fire and gasoline. I'm being real. When I decided to marry Claudinette, I made a life choice because she was the right woman for the life I wanted. A safe one. But at the same time, I knew that our getting married wouldn't mean the end of Lauryn and me. And that would be like asking the sun to shine only between the hours of noon and 5 p.m. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What I thought would happen was that Lauren and I would continue to be together on the road as part of what we did together musically until she fell in love with someone else and got married. That would be the only out. Once we were both married, this affair would come to a natural end and we'd just be friends.
Wait, can we pause there for a second? He's saying here that his plan, his intentional plan, was to continue an affair with Lauryn Hill, quote, musically, what we know that means sexually as well. And then hopefully she would just find someone else.
Big shout out to Claudinette. You come off holding really him down. Well in this.
Yeah.
Holding him down while he has a side piece, essentially, is what's happening here, is what I'm gathering.
I'm going to be real with you. I can't stop.
Come on.
And I'm not going to stop unless Lauren gets married and the man then becomes a threat to my safety. I like Claudinette because she be at the house.
Where I need her to be.
Yeah, that is the most redeeming characteristic I have to say publicly about my wife. That's
she was a safe choice for my life is the first thing and only thing he says about Claudinette. Romance is not dead, people. Your man will write about you in his book. I didn't say how he was going to write about you, but he will write about you in his book. And that's so romantic, and I think that's beautiful.
In my memoir, I'm going to write about my wife. I'm going to go, hey, listen, I may not have got a 10, but I got 5 twos plenty of times.
Oh, boy. I hate it.
Her marriage and pregnancy is what put an end to what we had, so I suppose I was right. Unfortunately, the friendship part didn't come along the way I pictured it would. But long before that, everything came to surface, which I didn't count on at all. Claudinette knew that there was something going on aside from our musical relationship, and she'd called me out on that. She told me she wanted to talk to Lauren face to face. Not just one-to-one, she wanted me right there beside her, because according to her, that was the only way she'd be able to understand what was really going on between us. So one night when Claude and I were at home and this topic came up, she made me call Lauren and ask her to drive over to the house. It was more like Claude had hijacked me. The whole time I was on the phone with Lauren, Claude was hitting me over the head with the phone nonstop.
Yes, Claudinette.
She needed this to happen before any more time went by. She was over this shit and she was going to figure out what the hell was going on. Lauren drove over in her car, and Claudinette and I came downstairs. Claudinette jumped in shotgun right next to Lauren, and I got in the back seat thinking I would never get out of there alive. Gig was up. Man, I started sweating. I didn't know it was summer. I have no idea. I don't even think Lauren's car was heated, but I was sweating like I had malaria. I could not deal with this situation.
I like that he's writing it as like, can you believe Claudinette did that? What? Why would she do this to me? Why was she hijacking me? I'm just an innocent bystander in all of this. She got pregnant by osmosis. How was I to know?
What a moron.
I like it. It's also too. It's just like this guy doesn't even have the good sense enough to not get into a car with two mad Caribbean women.
Nope.
It's like, what are you doing?
It reads like the transcripts of a podcast he recorded at the barbershop.
It does.
They just put it in the book.
Because only those men would agree with him. They'd be like, yeah, that's crazy, dog.
They're like, yeah, I've had malaria. You sweat a lot.
Yeah, of course you got phone beat. The whole thing was a setup. Like, I want her and you in a vehicle that you can't escape because it's moving. It's like you were going to get beat while she drives.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. There's only one worse setting for this meeting, and it'd be like, I want you and Lauryn Hill in a steel cage at SummerSlam. nothing's going to happen. I just want to talk to you.
We're just going to talk. That's all.
Yeah. I had a death fever leaking out of me from head to toe.
All I want to know is one thing, Claudinette said. What is going on between the two of you?
We're making music together, Lauren said. That's what we do.
It's intimate.
It is, I said. We have our own language. I could feel the sweat spilling over my brow and down my armpits. I want to know Prince. What is going on besides the music, Claude said. Is there anything else going on between the two of you? Silence probably didn't last long, but in my mind, it took ages and ages. No one was saying anything. I couldn't take it. I am in love with Lauren, Claudinette, I said. I am in love with her. Claudinette got out of the car and slammed the door as hard as she could. Lauren turned the engine over and pulled away, driving down the street. I was still in the back seat, losing my goddamn mind. I had spoken from the heart, but I didn't know what I was saying. I was feeling I loved them both, and I had no idea beyond that. A block later, Lauren pulled to a stop.
Wait, I see.
Get out, she said.
I see what he was hoping for here.
Yeah.
He's like, what if I have a sister wife situation? Would you guys still fuck with me? Please?
It's about the music. It's about the music.
I love them both.
We have
both.
Our own language.
We have our own language. You, why are you walking away? Why are you leaving? We could all love each other.
I told my wife that too, that, you know, there are just certain people I have my own language with, and it's very intimate. So it's not sex per se. It's a form of communication where I actually lay on top of certain people as a way to communicate.
That's fair.
And I'm like, you need to understand, as an artist, we have this special thing. So
it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, my wife's like, what is Maria Bamford doing in our house? And I'm like, well, we have a form of communication. Okay.
What?
Go home,
she said.
Now, get out of the car and go home, Clef.
I don't know what if that's what I wanted to do, but that's what I did. Lauren sped off, and I didn't look back as she did. I had one thing in mind. I ran back to Claudinette, back to our house. I got upstairs, but she was not willing to have anything to do with me. I didn't care. I started talking at her, just like a babbling idiot. But all that I said in that moment came from the heart. I meant all of it. I didn't want to lose her. No way. I knew that. Yet, I also loved Lauren. I knew that, too. But I knew that I'd be nothing without Claudinette. It was as if Claudinette was my foundation, my rock, and Lauren was my dream. Jesus Christ.
Ugh,
Jesus Christ.
The worst. He published this.
At the end of the day, only the foundation exists. Only the rock can hold your weight.
So it's just very funny. This is like, again, this is like Wyclef thinking that this is like romantic or flattering or sweet in some way, where he's basically calling Claudinette his like bottom last option.
Well, no, she's not the last option. She's just the safe option always, every time. And she's going to stick around for the bullshit. Whereas Lauren, she told him to get out of the car. What if she didn't tell him to get out of the car?
And also missing in the subtext of that story is it sounds like Lauren Hill just stole the car.
Yeah.
Like, that was not her car.
It wasn't her car?
Yeah. And somehow she ends up with the car.
I thought it was her car. It was her car. She drove over.
What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. I thought it was Claudinette.
And Claudinette got into the passenger side.
You thought she came over, got in Claudinette's car.
And drove it.
And then Claudinette gets out. And then Lauren Hill kicks Wyclef out and just drives it away. That'd be a funnier story.
I can only imagine what Claudinette must have been thinking through this. And then a few years later, he's like, baby, I'm going to run for president. Not a few years later, but sometimes she's like, can you just chill?
No, she was just like, well, okay, Wyclef, do what you got to do. I don't care.
I hope she had something on the side for all, you know, I know it's fucked up.
There are so many artful ways. Like, there are celebrities that have obviously engaged in infidelity, especially male celebrities. And there's just such a classier way of doing what he's trying to do here. Like, it's always, you can always tell a guy who's like, listen, I want to give a tribute to my wife of 17 years. I know I haven't been an easy person to get with, and I want to thank you for sticking with me. That means I have messed up a lot, and I've gotten caught.
I have sinned.
But it doesn't, like, outwardly, like, this is, like, humiliating for Claudette. It's not even coded. Like, it's just like...
She might have not even read it, to be honest. She's like, all right, you can write your little book. Go ahead. I don't care.
It's not even well written.
It's awesome being a guy.
Yeah. Dudes rock. Dudes rock. Dudes rock. Dudes rock.
Here's Lauren on Wyclef teaching her the guitar.
A long time ago when I was much younger, Clef tried to teach me, but he's a very evil, wicked guitar teacher, yo. Anybody who wants lessons, don't take them from Clef. My fingernails would grow too long, he would bite them off and spit them out and smack my hand. He's just very mean, but he's very talented, he's gifted. So now I'm taking the slow route and I'm trying to learn by myself.
What?
And pick. But if it wasn't for my singing, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for the fact that I sing with it, then I probably wouldn't be any good because I can't really play. I just write songs and I have about 300 songs with the exact same chords.
No.
Oh.
That's going to be a no from me, dog. So
that's a hard no.
This is glimmers of grooming, glimmers of abuse from him already early, but we didn't pick up on it. But like, if they said she was too young, I wonder how old she was. I don't know how old was too young at that time.
Yeah, I think they were at like high school age, right?
Yeah, so what was she, like a freshman or something, and he was a senior? That's not great.
Too young.
Too young, and yet...
Too young.
And he was already peeping, like, okay, I want to... How can I get closer to this girl? I'll put her in my band.
Damn.
And bite her fingernails off. This man is diabolical from the beginning. He was never nice, is what we're learning.
You know, the only thing a 15-year-old... can do for me is show me where her mama lives at.
Where your mama at? The controversy and heartbreak coupled with new motherhood took a toll on Miss Lauryn Hill. And when she got pregnant again in 98, she admitted that being a young mother of two is not an easy situation at all. You really have to pray and be honest with yourself. Also in 98, she released her solo album. Its popularity with critics and fans cannot be overstated. Still to this day, I love this album. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill garnered the most Grammys ever given to a female artist on the same night. Worldwide sales of the album have passed 20 million, making it even bigger than the score.
And just for context, when you look at the 20 million club, it's like foundational civilization albums. It's like Eagles, Hotel California. it's like what aliens will know. It's like Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Them, maybe, or something like that. It's like what is the biggest thing you was ever at that moment? That's what like the 20 million club is.
Yeah.
Anything over 10 million is bonkers.
It's crazy. But like anyone who gets too successful too quickly and too young and is a woman, Lauryn Hill was not immune to nasty criticism. It was the 90s and she took a lot of heat for being a poor role model. Being unwed with two kids, the media did not treat her fairly or kindly, okay? This revelation would be celebrated today, but we weren't there yet 25 years ago. Also, as often accompanies success, came a lawsuit. A group of musicians known as New Ark sued Lauryn Hill and her management and record label. The lawsuit claimed the album used their songs and production talents, but failed to credit them for their contributions, including a claim that they were the primary songwriters on two of the tracks. Damn. New requested partial writing credit on most of the songs of the album, as well as payment for that credit. She settled out of court, paying New Ark a reported $5 million. A friend of Lauryn Hill would later claim that this lawsuit was the beginning of a chain effect that would turn everything a little bit crazy. But Lauryn Hill, end of the day, she was at the absolute top. She was poised to parlay her current success into her other dream of being an actress. But Hill was easily spooked and lost project after project, reportedly turning down starring roles in A Star Is Born, which later got made with Lady Gaga, Dreamgirls, which was the Beyoncé part, the famous part, Born Identity, The Mexican, and The Matrix sequels. God, just leaving money on the table.
This is so much. These are hundreds of millions of dollars. This is crazy.
I wonder what exactly it was. Was it that she felt the script was too demonic? Did she feel like she just didn't want to deal with people that day and just didn't show up? Like what?
No. The Matrix, it's like, hey, you need to undergo like 4 months of martial arts training and Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's like really, you have to really want to be an actor to be in a movie like that kind of stuff.
I guess so. But, you know, something to be noted, like the fact that she wasn't in A Star Is Born, and then it took them like, I don't know, another decade plus, 15 years for them to make A Star Is Born. Like they didn't find anyone else until Lady Gaga.
She would have been so good in Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
So good.
Damn. Well, soon after the lawsuit ended, she dropped out of the public eye.
Wait, but by the way, it's like Beyonce did, what's the
Austin
movie
Powers.
Mike Myers? Austin
Gold
Powers.
Member.
She did. It's like, that's what, that, this is how that, that's the track. You do Austin Powers, you get drinks.
I don't know what came first.
Easy check.
That was a check was collected.
Easy check.
And either way, Lauryn Hill could have done a crazy good job. Beyonce, as an actress, leaves something to be desired. The Beehive's going to come after me for that one. Okay. Mm. So, soon after the lawsuit ended, she dropped out of the public eye entirely, returning for a short while to record her vaunted Unplugged album. Columbia spent $2.5 million on production fees recording Hill's follow-up solo album that never even saw the light of day. Hill also shut down a charity of her own that she had started, citing the fact that smiling and handing over big checks that don't come from a place of passion just doesn't really work for her. She equated it to slavery. She
well, that seems like a...
That's
you're a millionaire.
Yeah, running a charity is the same as being a chattel slave, I think is kind of a stretch.
Oh, boy. Then she started publicly lashing out at the Catholic Church for their long history of sexual molestation and subsequent cover-up that still exists to this day. So she wasn't wrong there.
Yeah.
But everything else...
Yeah.
But at the time, we didn't talk like that, though. There was no Twitter. So you just... If you spoke out against things, you seemed crazy.
Yeah. Remember Sinead O'Connor when she spoke out?
Yes.
I was just going to say.
She paid like a terrible public price for it.
Or like even Dixie Chicks talking about the president. Like now that's regular everyday shit. But back then, we didn't do that. Yeah. People get canceled. For real. Hill was never able to regain the heights or momentum of her old career. We can speculate all we want about motivations and possible mental illness, but it's just speculation at this point. It's lonely at the top, and self-righteousness is a hell of a drug, I'll tell you what.
So I think we also talked about like how Lauryn Hill was late to a lot of shows. She didn't really treat her bands very well. She's just, it's like problematic, right? But this guy, Robert Glasper, is a huge artist, and he's talking about Lauryn Hill on this show, which I found to be very interesting. I love like a first-person account from another artist.
When my career changed, and I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do, because that's when I got signed, and I was doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whenever I got into a situation that I realized, I was bye-bye.
Quick. Would you really?
Oh, I've done that quickly. I've done that to a few artists.
Ooh, I want to ask. Oh,
I'll say a name.
Let her rip.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Lauryn Hill.
What?
Why you do Lauryn Hill like
that? No. Why she do me like that? I mean, if you ask any musician, most people wouldn't know unless you know musicians that's played for her. Mm-hmm. But I did a show with Lauryn. This is 2008, I guess. Mm-hmm. From Mont Blanc Jewelry Corporation. Mm. Right? Mm. She's getting $500,000 for this show. It's a 20-minute show. My friend was the MD. He said, Rob, we're doing a show in LA. You want to do this show? Mind you, 2 years prior, she had been calling me, trying to get me to come to her house to audition. I'm already a signed artist. I'm traveling the world doing my own thing. I don't do auditions. So I was like, sorry, I don't do auditions. If you want me, you can listen to my album.
I like you.
You can do like that. I'm not auditioning. I don't audition.
Now, Rob, that could have came across a little.
No, but this is what they, she was calling me, talking about play for me over the phone.
What?
I'm not. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah, can you play with a phone then? Blah 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 blah. Like I'm like, no, but I do have albums out. Number one jazz albums on the charts. If you like, you can check those out. And then you know what I mean. But I'm not auditioning. That's just I'm not. So then my boy's like, yo, Lauryn has a show in New York. You want to play? I'm like, all right, what's the deal? He's like, rehearsing for 1 week for a 20-minute show. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So we rehearsed a whole week, like 10 hours a day. Every day she comes in and changes the show, changes what she wants to do.
Completely?
Completely. We're like, okay, so, you know. Anyway, the last rehearsal, she doesn't show up. Her manager shows up and says, Lauren's not really feeling the way you guys have been learning the music, so we're going to cut your pay in half. The last rehearsal, the day before the show. We're going to cut your pay in half. First of all, we won't get paid that much anyway, but understand she's getting $500,000.
Yeah.
So seriously, you're going to take these five musicians and cut their pay in half?
Okay, do you feel like y'all were messing up, though?
Not at all. It was a super band. Not at all. We weren't.
I see Robert Glasper.
No, but that's a fair question.
We weren't. No, but she has the thing of, she likes to fire bands. I can name you, I can rattle off 15 guys off the top of my head. She will go on tour with a band, and in the city that they're doing a show, she'll hold auditions for her band.
Wait a minute.
Who does that?
Say that again now.
She'll go on tour. Yes. This happened to one of my boys, a few of my boys, but this one particular, they flew to Japan to do shows in Japan. While she's in Japan, she's holding auditions in the hotel, in the ballroom, for her band.
Damn, that's gangster, right?
That's super gangster.
Boy, he's a gangster, man.
Super gangster, and nothing's wrong. Like, the bands are good. She gets the best musicians. The bands are always good. She just has a thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a thing.
It's about making other people feel bad. It's exercising power over other talented. It's like the whole exercise is to humiliate other people who are artistically talented. It's like classic way that like sociopathic people like exercise power just for their own, you know, for their own kind of enjoyment. It doesn't serve any real purpose. Like the real purpose would be putting together a coherent band, paying them well, and having the best live show in the world. Like it's like if you're Jimmy Fallon, you pay the Roots because you have now the best house band on television. You take care of them, everybody's happy, right? But with this, it's always about humiliating people all around and making everyone feel smaller than you.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Did you know that more than 113,000 children are waiting to be adopted from foster care? Ellie was one of them. When she was placed in foster care at 16 after experiencing significant abuse, she felt unlovable. Thankfully, Ellie was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. Today, she's planning on college and has a bright future. But more than 20,000 teens age out of care every year. You can help. Visit DaveThomasFoundation.org/learn more.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's going to be great.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The fraud we're here to discuss is one that everyone fantasizes about. Tax fraud. Ooh. Who doesn't have a fantasy of telling the IRS to go fuck themselves and just hole up in your house waiting for royalty checks to just trickle in? Oh, you only dream about it. And Lauryn Hill had the stones to give it a go. Hill failed to report over $2.3 million in income by intentionally failing to file tax returns for years. And these were not just normal years. These were the years after she recorded two of the most popular albums of all time. This was a decade after those albums hit the charts, but the checks were still large, okay? And Hill pleaded guilty to charges relating to the failure to pay her taxes from 2005 to 2007 and acknowledged that she hadn't paid for 2008 or 2009 either.
Remember when Wesley Snipes did the whole, I'm a sovereign citizen, I don't recognize the ability of the government to tax me, and then he went to prison and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Do you think, do you have more respect for the stance he took there or just Lauryn Hill just like not doing it?
Neither.
I think Lauryn Hill not doing it is better for me.
Yeah? Why?
No excuses. Just like, yeah, I didn't pay. I didn't pay till 2008. What do you want?
Yeah, there's something, I don't know, there's something I like about Wesley Snipes, though, really taking a stand on some sort of, like, distorted reality of principles that he has. Some sort of strange sense. That's, why don't you...
That's all men, Cena. That's, like, all men. Just like, yeah, well, I mean, it just happened that way because I'm a sovereign citizen. That's all. Don't worry
about
it, baby.
Let me just speak?
Yes.
All I want to do is say whatever words that God let me say. Justin, yes. why don't you like either?
Pay your taxes. I got to pay my taxes. So I don't want to hear you not filing them because you think you can get away with that. And then also I don't want to hear a sovereign citizen thing because I knew a guy that tried to be a sovereign citizen and not pay child support. So he said he wouldn't respond to his government name. In the court, he said, I recognize that name because that's the government name. He goes, my name is Ufulama something, you know. And the judge at Texas told him, well, pick who you want to be because that dude's going to jail today.
No. Oh, boy. Hill was sentenced to 3 months in prison and 3 months of home confinement, as well as a year of supervised release and ordered to pay a $60,000 fine in addition to her restitution to the IRS. So that means she had to pay back every single penny that she had failed to pay by not filing her taxes. She didn't just end up in any normal prison, though. She ended up in the Hamptons of prisons, darling. The same one Leona Hemsley and Teresa Guidis spent time in, and the place where currently Ghislaine Maxwell resides. And if you still can't picture it, it's the prison that Piper Kerman wrote about in her memoir, Orange is the New Black.
Ooh. Yo, Epstein killed himself.
No, he did not.
We can't do that on this episode. We'll do it another time.
You can't
what just are we throw doing?
Grenades in the middle of the episode.
Mm-mm. Well, we talked about Ghislaine, so we should be able to talk about Epstein.
Not now. We didn't even really talk about her. We just name dropped her because of the prison.
She knows what's going on.
Okay.
Yo, Justin, what's that red dot on your head?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ariel, there's a red dot on your head, too.
I didn't say anything. This can't be on me. This is not on me. I didn't do this at all. Don't you put that on me.
We're all responsible.
Oh, I want to go to a nice prison, but just be a gangster in it. Like, become like, you know, just like take everybody's snacks. Like, Ghislaine, give me them snacks.
Those Welch's fruit snacks. Give them to me.
Then stop paying your taxes. Easy.
Yeah, you too.
I think like not rich people that don't pay their taxes don't get to go to this jail. Like that's there's true. Rich jail and poor jail. Yeah. I think they would send me to like 23-hour lockdown like Leavenworth or something. for owing like $80 in taxes.
That's probably right.
I mean, again, we go back to the idea of like it would have just been so much easier on her life if she just had like TurboTax pay her taxes.
Yeah, it would have.
This is not a plug for TurboTax. Although if they do want to sponsor the show, happy to do it. You don't like TurboTax?
No, I use it. And I'm like, each year I have to pay more and more. What is going on here? I don't get money back. Yeah, TurboTax, if you end up sponsoring us, I'd like to get it for free. Thank you.
No, it's usually good when you're paying more tax. Well, I mean, it could just be like living in New Jersey, but
yeah, I think it's that.
It also means you're making more money. You're like, yeah, I'm paying a lot of taxes now. It's like, well, you don't work at like McDonald's anymore.
Yeah, I guess like, that's true.
Like when you're like 16, yeah. Yeah, 16, they just give you money back.
They're just like, here's $50. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. It'll give you your filing fee back.
After prison, Hill still had 3 months of having to wear an ankle bracelet and not leave her home.
That's like exactly what she was doing before she went to prison.
Right. She doesn't leave home unless the vibes are good.
We have some clips.
Oh, boy.
This first one is from the Fugees when they were in Haiti doing a concert. It's pretty wild. I mean, this is peak Fugees here, 1997.
Yo, what's up, MTV? We want to thank y'all for the best group. I'm Wyclef.
El Boogie up in here.
And I'm Praz.
And we live in Haiti. Haiti, make some noise! Yes, yes, y'all. Yes, and it don't stop. Rock on.
Lauren, let me ask you about what this concert can achieve, because obviously it's just the first step in what's got to be an ongoing process. But I mean, is this about assistance to the young people there, or is it about the image of Haiti sort of around the world?
Initially, it started off as one of my partner's dreams. You know, Wyclef always wanted to make this homecoming concert a really major event. And so Praz and I, you know, we had to support that.
It's taken a long time to put together, but you must be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's part of my mission because I was born there, you know. I used to be one of them little kids naked, running around in the sand, playing around. So it's kind of cool. So I feel when they see me and they see what I've accomplished, they're going to be like, yo, we could do it too.
What kind of reaction are you expecting when we get there today? I mean, I know, I heard that they've really put the word out that you guys are coming in.
Wyclef is like the prince, you know what I mean? He's like Prince Charles. You know what I mean?
Look at the way she looked at him so lovingly.
Yeah, you know, when he comes through, I mean, you're going to see the red carpet. People are going to be throwing things at him, and, you know.
Wait a minute. Pause it there. Oh, my God. That hit me in the chest. She looked at him so lovingly.
Yeah.
Warmly, you could just see the love.
Yeah, heart eyes emoji.
Because Wyclef is an impressive guy in 1997, and he's still kind of the star, and he's like the older one too. You know what I mean?
And he has not yet like played her.
Yeah,
that hard yet.
Well, and she hasn't gotten to like legendary status. It's like it's just like any other group dynamic where the power dynamics in a group switch. It's funny, but yeah, like seeing her, like it's like Wyclef's the man on this. You know what I mean?
Shout out to John Norris, by the way.
Yeah,
was on Sirius XM with us a couple times.
He was.
Nice man.
Probably the highlight of his career, I'd say.
Yeah, no, John Norris is a legend.
He was huge.
No, yeah, I know. That was the joke.
Oh, okay.
It's like literally interviewed like every major figure in late 20th century music. Besides interviewing Prince, the time you did a show with the Fraudsters on Sirius, that was probably
before they were even the Fraudsters.
Yeah.
All right. So we got this another clip again. This is from the trip in 1997 to Haiti.
Yeah, you have people in refugee camps, you know, just by us calling ourselves refugees, you know, gave people such incentive, you know what I mean, and such inspiration. You know, we've always sort of tried to, you know, speak out for the other half, you know, the half that wasn't really represented. And it just, to me, it clarifies the mission. It just makes our incentive stronger. It just want to, you know, just get people to recognize that we all can have something, you know what I mean? It's not like we, you know, the haves have to hoard it and the have-nots can't. There's room for everybody.
I'm going to translate.
Yeah.
You know what a good way to make sure that the have-nots get something is to pay your taxes. That's
especially when you make
way.
It rich. When you hit it rich,
yeah.
The way to do it is to pay your taxes, 100%.
All those social welfare programs that countries that, like Haiti don't have, they're funded through rich people's tax dollars. So maybe we should show Lauryn Hill a clip of Lauryn Hill.
I'm sure she would really hate that. I wonder if she'll listen to this show.
No. Bad vibes.
Maybe. Bad vibes?
Yeah, we have bad vibes.
Lauren.
We have to sage.
Shouldn't strike me as someone who's going to place herself in any, you know.
Like scrutiny.
Where there's criticism.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Yeah.
It says, Fugees, we love you because you do the right thing. On a little Jesus. Sign when they're coming in.
Oh, God, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's really actually super sad.
I mean, because they started great. They were, you know, everything was correct. They were doing it right.
Yeah. Until they weren't.
The Wyclef will never betray us sign is particularly.
All right, let's go to this next one. And on pros, we haven't talked much about pros, but let's get into some pros.
Prize made sure he handled the loot, production. I knew I couldn't handle money, so I said, yo, deal with that.
That's my niche, and you know, it's like a lot of groups either have...
foreshadowing!
Wow.
Like I said, so the success of Fuji has to do with a whole bunch of different elements, you know, and every one plays an important role, you know, so with the Fugees, you have Wyclef, like really the brain behind the music, you know, you got me, the brain behind the business, and you got Lauren, she's in between the two, you know, so, but it's like, it keeps it balanced, you know? So it's like, our business is being taken care of as well as the music, you know, it's not just, I mean, I've seen a lot of groups who sold millions of records and don't have anything to show for it, you know?
Prize is a person who, he gets into the whole business thing. You know, he really, if you see, watch him walk down the stairs and the phone will be attached.
Wow.
He really gets into that. That's his shelter. Clef is a music person.
Phone calls to Thailand.
If he could live in South Africa, he would do that.
We'll get there.
Because that's him. Me, I'm in the middle of those two worlds, you know. But at the same time, I think I find shelter in the things that I like to do for, like, the community. Like, I want to open up a youth center. That's like the bomb place. It's like almost as fun as a club, you know, any club or any.
By the way, wait, pause it there. Opening up a youth center. That's a great tax write-off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Work.
That's a charitable project.
Little did she know at the time. You know? Yeah.
And it would have been huge if she'd opened a youth center in like, if she's talking like 1996 Essex County, like if she opened up a youth center in like Newark, it would have made like a huge social impact. Or like East Orange or Irvington or something like that. It would have been huge.
She could have gone on to just be a philanthropist. Like, why did she have to go this strange route of tax evasion and vibes?
I also like herself describing herself as just in between. It's very funny how it's like she's the once in a generation talent in the group. And they're like, yeah, she's just kind of in between Wyclef and Pross.
Yeah. She is woman. We don't know what to do with her.
Like, they can't even say, like nobody's even saying, like, and Lauryn Hill, like, have you heard this person saying, like, it's, like, for them to even try to place her is so funny. It's like, they see her as a kid.
I would have easily said she was the talent.
Yes.
Like, she was the raw, incredible talent.
Well, could it be that they were intimidated by her and wanted to, like, keep her down a little bit?
No, they see her as a child. They still see her as that little girl. Their politics of when they met. You know how you have you ever met somebody to where you treat them the same way as when you met them, even though it's not the same anymore?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you know, like I'm trying to think of
examples. I see that. From
like the way Tony treats like Christopher and his cousin, Tony Blundetto. He treats them like their kids, like the way, you know, he like bullies them and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the way they treat her. They're like, well, she's just kind of like this person we're bringing up. And it's like, are you paying attention at these live shows?
Yes. People are crying when she's saying it.
Yeah.
All right. And this last one is Lauren talking about how she never got used to the feeling of being a superstar.
How did you manage to get used to the feeling then? Feeling of being a mega, mega superstar.
You know what? I never really adapted being a mega, mega superstar. Uh-huh. Like, I was just Lauryn Hill. You know what I'm saying? And we got a lot of attention. But it was very important to me that I continued to be just Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty much I had a, you know, I really appreciate my fans, you know, because I think they always had a level of respect for me. You know, I mean, I could still go to the store and buy some eggs, you know, and not have to put on makeup. You know what I'm saying? I could just be cool and be straight. And people still just, you know, were able to understand and give me that space and that time. But it's hard, you know, it's hard balancing and juggling. It's hard, you know, being the regular person that you are one day and the next day being under public scrutiny, you know, having to live your life, you know, in front of a camera, you know, it's not an easy thing. But I have a love for the music, and I think that I focus and I concentrate on making music first for the public, for the fans, for the audience out there. You know what I mean? It's more for them than it is for me being a superstar. I'm more moved by the musicianship, you know what I mean, and artistry of hip-hop and R&B and what I do, you know what I'm saying? So it's not really my Billboard status. It's how I can create and how I can develop as an artist.
You know, this is from an interview a little bit later in her career here. I think this is like closer to 2000 maybe. Her voice sounds like an octave lower. She sounds a little bit more mature, right? There's a little bit of a difference here. Yeah. You guys noticing that too?
I also want to believe what she's saying, but it's hard when you're saying like, oh, I never got used to being a superstar, but please call me Miss Lauryn Hill. And
I show up late to every
show. And if it was about the musicianship, I think a lot about like the comedian Roy Wood Jr., how he's like about the comedian-ness of it all.
Yeah.
Where like he will come to a small show and do it because he wants to do comedy. Whereas, like, is Lauryn Hill going to, like, a hole-in-the-wall show just to sing because she cares about the musicianship? Is she going to even a show that they're going to pay her lots of money? You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's really no annoying showing. To watch that. Yeah.
She's like, no showing stadiums.
Yes.
And then it's also, like, I want to do music, and it's like, she hasn't released original music in, like, 20 years.
Yeah. So, like, what are you talking about?
I mean, I will say, though, her statement is a great tribute to New Jersey because this is one of the only places, like, Northern Jersey... Celebrities are just like in Pathmark because this is like where they actually can afford like, and like nobody bothers them. You always see like either athletes or like just like Ja Rule.
Yeah. I used to see Michael Strahan when I worked at Starbucks, Steve Colbert.
Yeah.
Some people would see Wendy Williams at the supermarket like a pink shopping cart and it was fine.
Yeah, that's the underrated thing about North Jersey people don't talk about is just all the celebrities. It's like, it's just like, I bumped into like Tretch from Naughty by Nature like 7 times.
He came to the barbecue.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Thanks everyone for listening to Fraudsters. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Keep the conversation going and find us on Twitter and Instagram at FraudstersLPN. Follow me on Twitter at Sina Now and Ariel Leaty at Ariel Leaty. Follow Justin Williams on Instagram at Justin_Williams_comedy. Check out the show notes for the show's social media links so you can follow us and see the resources we used for this episode. Fraudsters is hosted by me, Sina Gaznavi, Justin Williams, and Ariel Leaty. Producer is Jordan Acancia. Production coordinator is Laureen Malik. Editor is Ryan Connor. Our writer is Nick Turner. Our researcher was Emily Fusco and Patrick Fisher. Robert Rossigliano is our legal intern. Music by Grant Gordon. Executive producer is me, Sina Gaznavi. This has been a production of Zero Cool and the Last Podcast Network.
They say plants like music.
Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.